Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
And hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina. Sorry, we're a little late this week. I'm Kyle. That's Cam. Hit the subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. If you have, thank you very much. We got a lot of really good content here on the channel. Stuff for Star Wars, stuff for Marvel, stuff for anime, of course, and general geek pop culture, entertainment, movie news and reviews. So lots of reasons. If it's not a reaction video, all of our podcast news and reviews, things go up on your favorite podcast apps. We're here to review The Mandalorian Season 3,
Episode 5.
I'm not happy. I'm not.
Well, I kind of got that from the message you sent the other day. I personally thought it was an okay episode, I must admit. I kind of know some of the things that you wouldn't like, but I genuinely thought it was okay. And a couple of things that I think I know will have annoyed you that didn't annoy me so much this time. So we maybe have a different set of opinion on this one. So you thought it was just overall the whole episode was like too...
See, that's what makes it even worse is on paper, mostly. There's a few things that are iffy. But on paper, this should have been a banger episode, man. On paper, so act like you're just seeing this. You've never seen the actual pirates. This is just like in planning stages, and they're like, man, we're gonna have this episode where the pirates come back and they actually attack on force, and you're like, yeah, man, freaking space pirate Lando and Han, they were space pirates. That was awesome. And you're like, yeah, and then the New Republic is gonna refuse to get involved, and we're gonna bring back that pilot everyone liked that let Mando go away and sees it. Okay, cool. So more New Republic stuff, man. I'm down with that. Yeah. And at the end of it, the Mandalorians, they're all gonna gather up and they're gonna go help save Greef Karga on Navarro and his people, and you're like, freaking A, man, that sounds awesome. And then they actually wrote it, the dialogue included, created the pirates that they created, filmed this monstrosity and released it with some of the absolute most cartoony dialogue in Star Wars that since Book of Boba Fett, maybe Obi-Wan can...
I mean, an example of what you mean about the childish dialogue, because as much as in the earlier episode when the pirates showed up, I didn't like some of the pirate terminology they used, but I was watching for that this time, and there was nothing that stood out to me.
Other than Davey and his like two crew members, which how ridiculous was it to have a frigate-sized craft with two crew members and Davy Broccoli himself.
Well, I have to say, one of my issues was actually the amount of extras they had on screen in this, which maybe goes into a slightly different scenario, but
but the bridge should have had more than two crew members plus the captain on it
I would definitely agree with that criticism, but you know, specifically on the anything in the dialogue.
So anytime that Greef Karga is speaking, a lot of his stuff is really, really just cartoony, 100% down the... And his delivery doesn't help with it. Carl Weathers is exactly who Carl Weathers is, and we enjoy a lot of his movies where his style, his delivery method works. I complained about some of his delivery method in...
Season 1.
In Season 1 as well, yeah. Which again is just who he is. So you kind of either have to accept it or not. Everything dealing with Bo-Katan and the dialogue between her and the armorer, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because you got the cartoon voice actress with it, plus, you know, Filoni working on it. But all of the depth and stuff just goes out the window. And we go from this whole I'm trying to think of how to word it. You go from this whole how what's her name, the armorer, gets from where she is two episodes ago to, hey, go ahead, take off your helmet. I don't buy that. They just didn't give us anything with it. It's just like she's internalized all this stuff, and then, hey, by the way, you've walked both ways. And that was really, really dumb, because it was like she had walked both ways beforehand. But I guess the whole mythosaur is what's tipped that off. But
I'm not so sure. See, I mean, we'll leave it till we get into spoilers, I think, on that, yeah. In terms of sort of speculation, I think.
The worst of it is the villainy, the worst cartooniness of it is, and this is the one part where on paper this didn't work at all, is the part back on Coruscant. One, how dumb was it that it's like, dude, yeah, you can fly faster than get the communications through. One, that again, they're shrinking the size of the Star Wars galaxy. I hate that. And two, when they get there, man, she's just, it's so coincidental, and the sly come in and push, you know, push the conversation where you want to do it, and the tone and everything. It's literally like watching a live action, because it's not just the writing, it's the delivery as well. This episode just oozed with the cartooniness, the immaturity, the rebels, and speaking of which, there's a cameo we'll talk about, but the rebels and Clone Wars style, dude. Like, and again, we had something completely different in season one and season two, and I don't know why we have to go back to cartoony. In season one, the only real cartoony thing you had to cope with was Weathers's delivery and a little bit of Sedaris's character. I forget the female junkyard lady, but she's
Amy Sedaris.
She's kind of goofy, but she Kelly, tolerable.
Kelly Mortal was her character.
I don't know. And then the worst of it, the worst of it was the I didn't catch this in the first time we see Davey Broccoli, but his ship has a fucking wheel. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't.
A wheel, a fucking wheel, and I'm leaving those F-bombs in. Sorry, but holy shit, man! You want to talk about ignorant, dumb, cartoony, stupid, juvenile, little kid bullshit. What sense does that make?
I mean, I think we should probably just give you a grade and go into spoiler territory here, because we've never been out it since we started, I think. So, you know, just to get into this conversation properly. So, what grade did you give this overall?
Gave it a C.
A C. I gave it a B-. All right.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So, while I would concede, and we're going to go into spoiler territory now, right, guys? So, full spoilers, so Raquel can rant in freedom, in freedom, all right? But I think we do disagree on this. And I think while there's a couple of points you make that I'll concede, A, the wheel I thought was a stupid idea, but it was only in short for like 5 seconds. Of the whole
lots
episode.
Of things are only one little thing until they all add up. So,
but it just didn't bother me that much, and I think overall the pirates were not as, what's the word I'm looking for, marine piratey as they were when we saw them earlier on. The terminology they used, they didn't, the costumes didn't look quite as bad outside of
the costumes
one
were
first
still
mate.
Yeah, the first mate, freaking blue and white striped shirt. Like, how
that's
much more
say,
cliche can
the first mate, the first mate looked like a pirate.
All of them.
The captain,
all of them look stupid.
I mean, if you go over the
he's
whole Davy
Captain
Jones
Hook
thing,
shit.
You know, I mean, maybe. But the other guys that were on the ground just looked like general sort of criminals to me that we would see anywhere in Star Wars. So I didn't quite mind them as much. And as I say, the terminology they used, they kind of they don't go for any really pirate lingo or anything like that.
But yeah, they didn't let them talk as much.
I still don't like their design. They're not my favourites whatsoever. But the fact maybe that they're just really one and done kind of antagonists that they've really been brought in just to give some action to what really, you know, hasn't built up in terms of action yet to the earlier episodes of Mando. I didn't actually think they were too bad. It's not as if we're going to have spin-off stories about Davy Broccoli for the next 10 years.
I mean,
it seems as if he's just pan bread dead. So
I hope so, but I'm scared to death we're going to get like... Crispy Plant
seems to be not an Amando.
I'm scared we're gonna get Crispy Plant, Davy Broccoli, and Skeleton Crew now because of that rumor. I know it could be just them mismatching data, but I'm.
It doesn't make sense.
I swear, if it shows up.
I mean, I'm not saying there won't be pirates in Skeleton Crew. I just don't think it's that crew because none of them left, basically.
They better not be Space Pirates of the Caribbean. I won't watch it. I'm dead serious on that.
This was so disappointing,
man. These.
See, I thought, you know, it was made up for it by. I thought a lot of the stuff that was going on in the actual Mandos themselves, once they actually go to them, it was kind of cool to kind of see them
as long as
sort of
no
take that step back into the other world. Like when Paz Vizsla gives his wee speech and it kind of looks as if he's going to go a different way and then he's like, I'll tell you why, because we're goddamn Mandalorians. You know what I mean?
That was fine. The whole thing when it's just like, the Mandalorians,
yeah,
that's the best part.
The action
show
was good. My major gripes with this episode is that it all felt so small scale. And what I mean by that is,
yes,
when Greef Karga, takes the residents away to those caves, you know, caves of solitude or whatever. And yeah, it felt like to me 40, 50 people there. And this is not a small little backwater village. This is supposed to be a town that's building and it's got school in it and all that sort of stuff.
The trade center and stuff. Yeah.
I get that you can't necessarily have, right, we need 2,000 extras to show up just for one day for a background shot, but they could have done some CGI there with some people being lit in the caves in the background so that there was only
something
so many of them up front.
They needed at least 50 physical people milling around using camera tricks to make it look like
I think should have been done to make it look more, even though they couldn't get it. I also felt they needed some more Mandalorians, not necessarily in the attack scene, but in the scenes where they're discussing what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So it was like, almost like every Mandalorian went on the mission, and there should have been like, where's Paz Kidd, who'd be too young to go on that mission at that point? Let's see some of the ones that maybe don't go on the mission in the background to make it feel more like a community. So if they'd done a few things like that, again, if I was in charge, I would never have designed those pirates like that in the first place. So I'm with you on that. But they don't annoy me at the overall story because to me, they just feel like a very minor throwaway villain that we just had to deal with for a very short space of time.
It goes back to my whole thing about little things adding up. We keep excusing little things from Book of Boba Fett.
I mean, I excuse
Vespas
little
things
from
like
every show, and you excuse little things from every show. I mean, all your favorite anime shows,
but
I'm sure there are people out
up.
There that are critical about these things as well, you know. And
but it's all adding up to something that is becoming an issue with Star Wars, which is the I don't even know what action word to use for it, but I don't want to say dumbing down, but the devolving, if you will, de-aging, if you will. We're getting to where Star Wars is literally, even the things that were very, very OT in tone, where there's some lighthearted fun and some more mature moments with Mando's season one and two. Now we've had a majority of stuff that is a lot closer to Rebels and Clone Wars than it is Star Wars OT.
I mean,
and
yeah,
it's leagues away from the sequel trilogy, which there's a lot of things I'll say, but the sequel trilogy was not aimed at 10-year-olds in general. They, of course, just like the originals, had some things for kids, like the droids.
I wasn't aimed at us
stuff.
Either, because it didn't make enough sense to be aimed at people at us. They were trying to aim at people of our generation, but by baiting it.
But everything else, everything else, even Solo is a hell of a lot more immature than the like Rogue One or anything. We got Andor and Rogue One and the two seasons of Mando, and everything else, including the cartoons, of course, is child. And that is what's upsetting me the most is Mando was supposed to be that thing that could, you know, bridge the two. Yeah, the 10-year-olds are going
to
love
that's
it.
That's the thing.
And
it needs to bridge
the
two. It's never going to go as dark as Andor.
For me. I don't need it to be. I don't want it to be. It has to. All it had to be was like
was
season
that.
One or two.
It. Book of Boba Fett with a Vespas for me. It never, you know, and the weird looking people, you know, timid fights. It was, I mean, like, when the Mandos do attack, there is actually some brutal fighting, and a few of them get shot.
Some,
you know, there's a couple of good action shots where somebody like gets close range, boom, bang right in the face and stuff like that. Not too much to make it, because they're not trying to make it too violent. And, you know, that's obviously tricky to do in this type of scenario. But I thought,
I thought some of the space
action, but ship action was okay with Bo and Mando kind of like...
Yeah.
Cruising about and letting everybody else kind of go to it and stuff like that. And I like the maybe one slight criticism I would have again is that sometimes like they seem to up and down a Mando's power level depending on the situation a little bit when they do the action scenes, like, oh, we need them to be bogged down at this minute, suddenly they're not as good, and then all of a sudden somebody pulls off something fantastic. Sometimes you need to up, escalate the threat against them in order to see the best of people. When you do that, it's like you can't have John Wick suddenly, you know, there's one guy with a shotgun, a shop owner and a gun store, it's like that. Fuck you, John Wick, since we're swearing anyway, you know. You ain't stealing money from my camera today, boy. And you know, he's trying to, and John Wick's having trouble with him all of a sudden because the script calls for it at that point.
Yeah,
but, you
exactly.
know, there's a couple of little things like that I definitely could be fixed up and touched up.
What did you?
But it's not. It didn't annoy me the way it's clearly annoyed you. You know.
Yeah. Sticking with like the Mando's stuff. Like I said, everything with the Mandalorians was what was best in this episode. But even then, there's times where they just shouldn't have been talking. And Vizsla's speech was fine. Like the whole switcheroo. But I felt like it took too long to get there, and it made it over dramatic.
I like a good monologue speech. I like a good overly dramatic, like, especially when there's a twist in it in some way.
But I'm already annoyed. That's what I'm saying.
So you can't because you're already pissed off. And that's the thing.
Right.
I was more pissed off at the start of the episode, but as the episode went on, I get less pissed off and enjoyed it more. Because when I saw them at first, I was probably the same as you. I was like, fuck, David Broccoli's back. You know? crap.
I hated that. I don't like David Broccoli.
And then, you know, he annoyed me whenever he was on screen, but he thankfully wasn't on screen very much, you know?
One frame is too much. Too much David Broccoli.
I agree with that. I don't like him.
So, but that you know what's funny is you mentioned all the anime stuff that I watch and... Like, I'm not upset at cartoony things, guys. I love cartoony shit. I like regular cartoons. I was watching Amazing World of Gumball last night getting ready for bed, just folding some laundry. I'm down with silly. It is an amazing show.
Yeah, there's a couple of proper cartoons out there over the last 10 years that are... There's, like, another level of them for adults.
Oh,
Gumball's
that,
Gumball's one of them.
Gumball's.
Adventure Show was like that as well.
Yeah, Adventure Time. Regular Show, Adventure
regular
Time.
Regular Show, that's the one of us. Two of us getting mixed up. Adventure Time and Regular Show.
I'm into all of that, but that's because those are meant to be that way.
Yeah, I get that.
If Gumball all of a sudden went Andor level seriousness, I
would
not be very happy.
Yeah.
you know? So for me, that's why this upsets me so much, because this isn't what it was meant to be. And again, I will say this now. I am scared for the future of Andor season 2. Do I think they'll make it as lighthearted as this? No, they can't.
They won't at all, because Tony Gilroy's doing his own.
They're not going to go. It was critically acclaimed.
They'll let him do whatever he wants.
No, they won't. They're going to lighten it up, and boy, you get ready for the Rebels cameos. It might light up a little bit anyway, but I just don't think that's the way his mind works.
And if he's in charge of it and doing it his way. And I think he'll appreciate that he's getting all the praise for the fandom, saying, "Well, Andor was amazing." Yeah, it wasn't as popular, and I think we knew it wouldn't be as popular as some other shows, because it isn't going to be for everybody. But I think they need to keep Andor for people like us. I have no worries about that at all. I don't know where you're coming from.
I do, because it's Disney in charge.
It's not supposed to go anywhere. Andor season 2 is the end of it, so it's Iger, not going
doesn't,
anywhere.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Iger's back, baby. And come on, let you know what's funny is everyone likes to think Iger's here to save the day, but let's not forget he's the one. Bob Iger, you listening to me, you little shit. You're the one, Bobby, that put Star Wars in this position in the first place when you were like, I want one Star Wars movie every year from 2015 forward. You did that. Bob Iger.
Especially as he doesn't seem to be too worried about the quality of the script.
No, but, I mean, and don't get me wrong.
Where Disney fucked up is the people they hired, though. But then even the people they hired that did tell them, we haven't got enough time, they ignored them and said, we have to do it anyway. You know, which was
doesn't matter. He's the man in charge. Just like Chapek was the guy that killed Marvel by flooding it, Disney Plus, with Marvel stuff, insisting that just too much stuff. So anyways, Back to the Mandos off of the business side of it. What did you think of the kind of path for Bo-Katan? You and I saw this as a possibility early, but we didn't know how it would be executed.
I don't think it's going to go quite the way we want. I still think there's a chance this could go either way. They've done I think what they've done really well this season is showed Din as a natural leader, but with someone who has no desire to lead giving him a bit of a backseat. And I think that may be deliberate, because they're going to end up having a split where you've got Bo-Katan versus Din side of things. But I think that's like maybe a season 4 type situation. I don't think we're going anywhere near that yet. But I think seeds are being sown that could potentially go in that way. I'm starting to not be completely, what's the word I'm looking for, trustworthy with maybe is how do you trust a character, you know what I mean? I've got a bad feeling about the armor, right? And I've always had a kind of
traitor,
not a traitor, but that she has her own ambitions. She doesn't seem to have any desire to lead, but then the person who advises the king, the king's closest advisor is truly the king, you know, it's one of those type of situations. And it's starting to feel a little bit, and I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but a little bit Littlefinger.
I've seen enough. Yeah,
to me,
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Somebody that's in the background telling people what they want to know to push them in the direction they want them to go. Because she was almost so dismissive about the Mythosaur, and then after everything that happens, it's like, come and see me. Take off your helmet, and she's, you know, it's just the way the awkward. I thought the awkwardness was deliberate. If that makes sense,
that could be.
She's like, why am I doing this? You've just put me back in the crate. She doesn't want it. She wants to kind of stay at that point, and she feels like she's kind of being forced out. Yeah, and the one thing the armorer does as well is say, basically, I think it's something like, do you trust my advice, or do you accept the authority of my position?
Something like that.
What does that actually mean, really, when we get to it? Does that mean that she's always going to expect her to do what she says? Because
station,
you can imagine
that's what she,
it has to
she
be
says.
The
do you
other
respect my station?
Way around about if Bo was able to unite all the clans together.
And it was a weird you know, like I
said. I think there's more to find out there. I think that's the thing. Yeah. I think we need to wait and see where that one goes. Here's another one I'm going to give you as well. That's speculation from my end. I think that the people who rescued Moff Gideon were Mandalorians, because we find that Beskar there. I know he's had a connection. And we also know that some of Bo-Katan's old crew, like that Koska Reeves and are supposed to come back at some point in season three as well, Axe Wolves. I'm starting to wonder where some of her ex-people have went and just become mercenaries, and they've hired a job to basically free Moff Gideon or something like that, and we're going to end up with a Mando versus Mando conflict at some point.
Could be.
With the good guys versus the bad guys. But I think where that could go is in, almost a civil war type situation eventually. But as I say, I don't think we'll quite get there yet. And it's clear that Gideon and Coruscant is working, and Neo's fine well what she's doing, and it's on behalf of Moff Gideon as well. I disagree with you about the, you felt that kind of whole dialogue was, I kind of felt it felt like a real government in terms of some pen pusher who really just doesn't give two shits about
That in general is fine. It's the conversation once she comes in and starts steering it.
I mean, it's
all
a bit
of that
obvious.
Comes off
it's
as just obvious. so I don't even know what the word, it's so icky, and it's just so like anyone buying this bitch's fucking bullshit is an idiot.
Maybe they're
like,
trying
it was
that.
So...
I think they're trying to have, like, what's his name? The dude, the pilot, the, can't remember his
name. I don't even remember
name.
His name. I really
I
don't,
think Mando called him Blue at one point, so we'll just call him Blue. Right? So he seems extremely suspicious of her, and yet this other guy doesn't. And I think maybe what they're trying to show is somebody who is out there and sees the world the kind of way it really is, versus some bureaucratic idiot who says, well,
and they're showing
that
it
paper here tells me she's recovered, so I'm...
They're showing
I'm
it like they do in a cartoon, in the way that their tone of voice is, delivery, everything. Nothing shows... It's so freaking obvious, and that's what I'm getting at, is it's like treating me like a freaking child, and this show has already shown that it was meant for everyone. He didn't have to dumb things down, and that's what they're doing. You're right on what they're showing, but Cam, you can also show that without I don't want to say over enunciation, but you know what I'm talking about. It's that the style.
It's the classic. What Andor does well is show and not tell, right?
Exactly.
And they do a bit too much tell sometimes.
Oh my god, it's
they
not
do,
nothing
do a
but
bit too much tell, and the dialogue then feels exposition-y at times.
It's frustrating because I'm
the original trilogy was a bit. I mean, maybe Empire aside, the original trilogy was a bit exposition-y as well. So
the first one for sure.
In Star Wars, definitely a new hope.
First one for sure. Jedi, a little bit on Endor with trying to explain what they're gonna do. But you kind of have to have some exposition.
There's a little bit of hand splaining goes on as well, and things like that, you know. But
even when
really
that happens, it's
one,
not as
that's
cartoony.
What elevates the second one up, because it feels like you're in this natural situation where people are reacting to the events in a kind of more realistic way, and that works well in all movies for me. If I'm a fan, I'm not a fan of Joe exposition. But Star Wars has always a little bit of that in it, and it's where they kind of draw the line. And I'll agree
how you
that
deliver
some of the dialogue in Mando has been a bit expositiony this season, and they could do a bit more show and a bit less tell, which would appeal to me more.
If they are going to tell, don't tell it like a kindergartner. Don't tell it like we're watching Barney. I have some respect for your audience, and even for the kids that are watching.
If you haven't explained too much, then you're doing that anyway, because I don't think there's any way to do that without seeming as if you're disrespecting the reader, but I don't know, because at the same time, I read books and then I talk about them online with people and people are like, oh my God, I didn't know this character was the pick, you know, something, hero, prophesied, you know, what messiah, whatever you want to pick in the kind of stories that I would read. And I didn't realise there were that until book three, and you're like, it was like obvious from chapter three of the first book to me. Guess. So where some people see that, some people see Andor, right, and they say, I don't understand what was going on in Andor, because they didn't sit and explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old kid, because let's face it, some of the even adults out there that are our age still need their content plated up to them in TV dinners and say, you know, here's what happened last week, here's what happened 5 minutes ago, just in case you forgot. Here's, we're going to linger on this shot for ages, because we know if we don't, you won't get that it's important. You know, little things like that. And I see that all the time in American TV to various degrees. And it's very rare, it's the very good shows that don't do that.
Yeah.
And I think Mando season one definitely had a bit of that in it for me. Season two less. But still a bit of it. Boba Fett had quite a lot of it, you know. Andor really didn't have that at all, and that's one of the things that elevated Andor for me, because, you know, it treated me like someone who can understand what they're supposed to be watching on screen. But you're not always going to get
like
that
someone with
Star
a brain,
yeah, but
and
you're not
someone that's had
half
a life of experience, you know.
I understand those Star Wars will never be aimed at those.
It doesn't have to be all like that at all. It doesn't have to be that. And I'm not asking for. I've never wanted everything to be like Andor. Even after getting Andor, I still.
I mean,
didn't
I would
want
bang.
But I'm not asking for it. Is what I'm saying. Like, that's the thing. I'm not against childish, cartoony, where applicable, the Mandalorian didn't need this level of cartoonishness that we've gotten in season three. Like you said, Star Wars is always going to have some things, and even I said that. You know me, I'm one of the world's biggest Return of the Jedi defenders and apologists, if you will. But yeah, for the love of God, the hell with the Ewoks, Lucas. I mean, seriously, dude. You know, you
Jedi's great. Oh, it's a stop for the Ewoks, but the Ewoks do annoy me.
You know,
and then there's so much of that. I mean, which is probably why my probably still least favorite film, because of what it could have been, is still The Phantom Menace, because it's just too much of that. It's so much exposition, horrible dialogue, cheesy
awful
lines.
Dialogue.
The good ideas that are in there don't get to come to the surface. And I would even say I'd probably, as it pains me to say it, because there's less value in The Rise of Skywalker, but it's probably a better put-together film if you ignore all the horrible things it does to the canon than The Phantom Menace is, you know, in terms of the way it's shot, the way the dialogue's done, and
those
everything
are
like
definitely
that. A few bad bits, like somehow Palpatine returned.
The bottom three, and anyone that disagrees, I'm sorry, but you're bat shit crazy. The bottom three, in no particular order, just the bottom three of the nine saga films is very easily 2, 3, and 9, or excuse me, 1, 2, and 9, 1, 2, and 9. Sorry, 1, 2, and 9.
I'll go with
not
it.
In any particular order. Yeah. That's why I named them out numerical. 1, 2, and 9. Those are the bottom freaking of the barrel. Followed very closely by 3, 5, 8, and 7.
Three, seven, and eight.
And then, of course, 4, 5, and 6 remaining gloriously at the top.
But, you know, they did a recent poll at one website. I can't remember the name now, and these things happen from time to time. They said, what's the best Star Wars movie? And people rated it, and they went from top to bottom. Empire Strikes Back was number one. Guess what was number two?
Sith, of course.
No.
What?
Wait a minute. It was, Revenge of the Sith. The third was The Force Awakens.
Third was
Which I was
Force
like,
Awakens,
yeah, it was ahead of Return of the Jedi. You know what I mean? And you get down to like the really low ones were like Solo, you know, and then Rise of Skywalker and stuff like that. You know, those were the really, really low ones. But yeah, it's different opinions out there from everybody that's gone, unfortunately. And you know, that's I see things very similar to what you do, to be honest. Probably not exactly the same, but similar.
In this episode,
I wasn't as annoyed as you are by it. I was still fairly engaged and enjoyed the action that I was seeing and everything.
Do you know what I think is part of the problem? People aren't growing out of things or growing up in things the way they used to, right? And I say this as someone with a shit ton of cartoon and video game stuff all over my walls. But guys, from the most stupidest, from the lamest, most childish cartoons of Gumball or Dragon Ball Z, all the way up to bigger brain things enjoying stuff like the Last of Us, keeping it in geek culture, you know, not to mention non-geek pop culture things that are live action, not your Better Call Sauls, you know, dramas and things like that. So my tastes vary, right? I grew up, we had franchises grow up with us, including Star Wars. The EU was definitely a lot more mature, and that's not saying rated R or anything, but more mature, the Star Wars EU, than the movies.
Some of it wasn't, Kel. Some of the books I remember reading were really bad. I mean,
yeah,
I've used this example before, but the Darksaber book.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. They're not all winners.
Controlled by a hot. It was just
there was some growth, and not only that, there are cartoons from when I was a kid that I wouldn't watch again today because they're too childish. I'll watch Ghostbusters. I'll watch Ghostbusters. That's still good. I'll watch Ninja Turtles. Here's what I'm long way of trying to get to. I'm not gonna watch Denver the Last Dinosaur ever again. Like if I saw that, I'd probably go, "Huh, I remember that cartoon." It's obscure American stuff, I think. I'm probably, the point being is that today I think people hold on to their childhood more than older millennials like myself, more than Gen X like you.
Look at all the stuff that's in your wall behind you. Look at what you're wearing. Look at what you're doing for a living.
I already said that, but what I'm saying is I still grow, right? So that means here's what I'm trying to get at. People that grew up with freaking prequel trilogy and Rebels as their Star Wars, that they're carrying that forward. They're not growing up with it. That's my point. So I've got all of this, but I still have things that I'm not requiring it's everything to stay that age.
But that is subjective, and I'm like you, right? So we like a lot of the same things. I'm a bit older than you, but roughly speaking, we kind of grew up similar type areas and similar geek stuff that we're into.
I'm closer to Gen X than I am millennial style.
Struggle to understand some of these things as well, but I'm trying to look at it from other people's point of views, and we can't expect everybody to be like us. So if I take some random guy in the street, they may think, we never grew up because we're still watching Star Wars. Star Wars, I grew out of that when I was 10. I'm watching, I don't know, A, B, C, D. It doesn't matter what they think, but what the point is, everybody thinks what they watch is the right thing. Everybody thinks that other people's tastes don't make sense. So I was in an online discussion the other day there. And somebody was praising the design of the pirates in this, right? How they loved Davy Broccoli. Obviously, they didn't use the name Davy Broccoli because that's a kind of us thing. His real name is Gordon Shard, if anybody wants to know that. But I cannot get my head around that. I cannot get my head around that. But at the same time, I can't turn around and say, oh, you're just so wrong. My opinions and my... Because it's how you interpret art. If somebody looks at that design and goes, that's cool, I'm really interested in that design, that's something different from what we've seen in Star Wars before, it's very difficult for us to turn around and say, you're wrong, you know?
Not for me.
I know.
I am that asshole. No. I get it. I get
it. You're different from me. I try to look at things from other people's point of view. You tend to get angry and say because something's bad and...
Because it keeps happening.
People like the things
it
I like.
It keeps happening. You know? No, I don't need it to... Again, I'm not even asking to change the Mandalorian into anything other than what it was. That's what it was. It was already a style, a thing. It already had a place where it was fitting. Like we talked about, bridging between some of the more childish, fantastical stuff from even episode 4 and, of course, Rebels and Clone Wars. But bridging that with that original trilogy feel a little bit grittier, a little bit more grounded. And then this season, we just... jettisoned that, just threw it out the freaking airlock, and that's what's making me angry, because it seems like we cannot do anything with Star Wars anymore. And I know Andor exists, and again, I've got my fears about it, but we simply are just seeing people to where they're like, nope, Star Wars was Rebels, Star Wars was Clone Wars, Star Wars is cardboard Hayden Christensen,
because there's people out there.
And if they
love is the cartoons, fuck the OT, that's their favorite thing is the cartoons. You know, that's that they like that better than some of the movies. There's people out there now that genuinely think the OT is just a bit crap compared to what's been out since, and that the cartoons are a lot better. I don't understand that either. But when you have a franchise,
then don't change something you've already freaking made
and goes across so many people. I think we have to accept that there will be times that Star Wars won't cater to us anymore. And we can call it out.
There's already lots of Star Wars I haven't watched. So.
Yeah, I know. And on that front, by the way, I would say that as for one show that started really cartoony and I wasn't a fan of, because I do watch animated shows, The Bad Batch did the same old thing that Star Wars does. Halfway through the second season, it suddenly started getting good. It started getting darker. It started getting more mature. And by the end, I was like sitting watching episode after episode going, shit, this is actually quite good. I'm excited to find out what happens here. And I'm actually looking forward to season 3 of The Bad Batch, because they've left you on a really cool cliffhanger, you know, and there was actual deaths, you know, meaningful deaths and stuff like that happened as well. And, you know, they're exploring a lot of quite, you know, I would say for a cartoon anyway, mature content in terms of looking at how the clones were treated post-Empire when they don't really have any need for them anymore. But they're really exploring, you know, what the Empire want their forces to be, and what the clones are doesn't represent that anymore, and coming up with interesting ways to deal with them and set them up against each other and stuff like that. So it's actually been quite good for me. And I know you're never going to watch that, but I guess for me, I can turn off the... Because I've got a love of Star Wars, and I can sometimes enjoy something and ignore some of the childish aspects of it. And maybe that's what's working for me for Mando. But sometimes it goes too far. And like the Book of Boba Fett, some of the stuff that was in there went too far. But at the same time, I didn't hate Book of Boba Fett as much as you did, even when we were reviewing the episodes. You know, I was never loving it, but I was, it wasn't quite as bad as that. Okay, I hate that bit, but I didn't think this bit was too bad. So, you know, even then, we've got a slightly different sort of meter, if you like, for how we judge these things. So, I don't know.
I don't know either. Of course, there's going to be stuff they make not for me, and that's the same with any genre and any franchise. Marvel's done it. Like I said, I'm not even asking to make things different than what they already were. That's my biggest issue, is just that we continuously, and I keep saying aimed at 10-year-olds, but it's really not. It's aimed at a bunch of like 25 to 30-year-olds as well that are content with 10-year-old mentality. I guess is upsetting as
they don't
freaking hell.
Challenged as much by what they're watching. Some of these people, it is just having a hard day at work. I want to go in and switch off my brain for half an hour, and that's what TV is to some people.
That's not what Star Wars was meant to be.
We are more critical, but it was for some people. It was. There will be people out there that went, yeah, you know, went to Star Wars when it first came out and thought, oh, I love those Star Wars films. Would you know? But they don't know the name Bib Fortuna. Mm. They get the Star Destroyers and the Death Stars mixed up because they've only watched it twice, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like those Star Wars movies, but they're not into it. Like, they're not, wow, I love this and I want to find everyone out about it like you and I are, you know. And there's that audience in Star Wars. At the same time, there's then this other generation that are like us, oh, I want to find everyone out about it. But they want to find everything about where they come into it, which was watching the Clone Wars and the prequels and stuff like that. And, you know, the odd characters that they grew up with.
Even if you start with prequel era stuff or cartoon stuff, you eventually find yourself at the original trilogy, which if you are growing up, and again, yes, I know.
But you could still like the same shit
and TV. I like the same stuff, but what I'm saying is that I am most people I know, everyone my age, a little bit older and a little bit younger, managed to grow up, meaning that they very much love the 1980s super goofy childish Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But when that new IDW comic launched and Eastman started making turtle comics again, and it was grittier, grounded. Yeah, yeah. It was more like the original comics. Those same fans that were just drooling over 1980s Turtles cartoon, me, we're now drooling over the more gritty, blood-filled, oh my god, they cracked Donatello's shell. Bebop and Rocksteady basically killed a turtle.
I mean, he, of course, lives.
But, like, everyone around me did that. Why can't the people younger than me do it?
You're surrounding yourself with a friend group of like-minded people, though, surely. So they're surrounding themselves with a like... Maybe there's a group of people out there, and I'm not saying there is, who didn't like those new comics and went, oh, Turtles for me was that old 90s cartoon, and if it's not the old 90s cartoon, I'm not interested anymore. Maybe they're there, but you just don't know any of those people.
I don't
people.
Know.
I don't get
people not... It's. I love all the old stuff.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I'm very much playing devil's advocate because I agree with you mostly.
I don't understand it. That's what I'm saying, but... And I'm not saying like it's going to change or anything. I'm screaming about how I don't understand it, but what I think it is, and it's that image. And dude, you can point to things in music with it. You can point to things in live action entertainment with it. You can point to things in video games. For years, we've been discussing how simple
programs in the world. People still watch this shit on a day-to-day basis.
My mom. What?
People
what
still watch those garbage. Police procedures that are, you know, the really bad
like
ones,
Law and Order
where,
and stuff.
You know,
yeah.
Where they explain everything mm-hmm. a million yeah. times to you, and there's yep. an advert every 30 seconds, yep. and they recap everything at the end of it. That's some people's lives because that's all their brain can handle in terms of entertainment and TV.
I don't get it, but I do know that it is more prevalent in people younger, and this does not mean like cursing those damn kids.
I know some older people that are like that as well.
Well, yeah, of older course, than me, but I'm saying, and well, yeah, my mom is the one that watched soap operas, not my wife or my sister. It's there are certain aspect, genres or franchises, projects, whatever word you want to
look for.
See,
that's what I can't
for.
Just feel like that 10 years. But no, between again, when we were born, that suddenly people.
But that's not cartoony. That's a different type of corniness on in and of itself. It's completely different than something that is dumbed down. And that again is my issue is we are extending adolescence way too fucking far, and it pisses me off. And no one is fucking growing up anymore, and it affects everything. It affects everything. I was trying to mention games.
You're
look
just
out! Look
old.
How easy games
that's
have gotten.
You're old now.
Over the,
you're
old. I am old. I've had gray hair. Don't act like you don't change the subject, Cam.
What the young kids are into now is just rubbish. Why are they into this rubbish stuff?
No, it's because like, there is good stuff. I've got a load of brand new stuff. Every year I find new music acts, new shows, new stories, new stuff, not the recycled from my already existing childhood. New stuff, Cam. I'm not against new stuff when it's good. My problem is that we are no longer seeing people grow up, and instead of having their maturity move things forward, moving things beyond the 10, they're just bringing that with them. And even if something already exists within the same franchise that's a little bit older, say a Marvel Knights comic book or Marvel Max versus reading just the standard 616, they're not doing that. They just want to bring the freaking 10-year-old bullshit up with them. And that drags everything down. And it happens in games and comics and movies. It happens in music.
You can't control these things at just, the end of the
No, you can't, but it doesn't mean I should be happy about it. And I sure as hell don't have to accept people making shit.
Unpopular. If they release content that's popular, whether you and I sit there and say, hey, this is shit, but if it sells, they will ignore everything you
and I
have
said. Well, yeah, no, duh. I would sell. I am the filthiest, most dirty capitalist pig you can imagine. If I could find a way to sell someone something that they didn't need, but it won't hurt them, like the fidget spin, okay? Because I believe in good form capitalism, right? But I sure as hell would take advantage of people's simplicity, stupidity if necessary. The fidget spinner, one of the stupidest, most wasteful things ever. It was a fad. It came, it went, but it made a lot of people a shit ton of money really, really fast. And it didn't hurt anyone. The people that bought fidget spinners, it didn't hurt them. It was a waste. It was stupid. I would love to take advantage of people like that as a capitalist. But Star Wars doesn't have to. And again, that's the thing. I get that there are people that love Clone Wars more than the OT, but I don't really know anyone that's a Star Wars fan that doesn't at least like the OT, love the OT as much. Like, I don't know any, and I'm sure there are some out there, but I don't know anyone that is just like,
but it would be strange.
The OT is trash. It's garbage.
Star Wars, except the OT.
I don't see that as a thing. So it stands to reason that if that appealed, and if Mando season 1 and season 2 appealed to the people that are watching it now, if it appealed just 3 or 4 years ago, why do you need to change it now? Why?
Well, I mean,
that's what. Oh my God!
Every show has to change at some point. I think partly that is because they really only had a story running up to what was going to happen when Grogu was going to go away.
Childish. Okay.
And they had to create what a new story would be. I don't think that they've tried to make it more childish. I just think they've naturally went in that direction a little bit with some of the stuff that they've done this season. And I disagree with that it suddenly became a childish show. I think there's so more elements in there compared to what were there before. But I look at some of the episodes in season 1, especially the ATAP one in the village, and a lot of that shit was childish and poorly dialogued and poorly shot and all that.
That's
sort of stuff.
One where with the ATST?
He meets
the action shot at the end was good, but that was about it.
Nothing, you know, and we never see again, and she's got a kid and all that. I never got what
that was a filler episode from all hell. It was a filler, man.
At the same time, the bounty hunter episode, which was I think the one after that, the desert, the guy that he was chasing for the bounty. That was quite childish, and I didn't go for that as well.
And I railed against his act.
I did as well
to the actor. Yeah,
and then it improved again towards the end. So that's been there in Mando, but they've always come a darker way in the end. And I think that's what they'll do. And I think looking at what they do with the animated series, absolutely, there's some light-hearted shitty filler in there. In fact, far too much, as far as I'm concerned, but they do seem to get going eventually, and the shows do improve as they kind of get going. I don't know. We'll wait and see.
This
overall,
one seems
once
to
we
do
get the end of Mando,
reverse.
And maybe do you know what, shows do sometimes go that way too. So there's no guarantee this isn't actually the beginning of the end, and things are just going to take a downward turn from this point on. That is possible. Maybe. I don't quite see it yet, because to me there's a lot of mystery there that they could still go in a number of directions, but they could choose all the wrong directions to go in, all the easy choices instead of the kind of hard choices at times, so therefore we don't get any real drama.
Don't they listen to Yoda and stuff about how taking the easy way is the way of the dark side? I mean, come on. Yoda's the bad guy in Star Wars these days. I forgot. Carry on.
What they don't do and they should do is listen to the Cantina podcast, mate.
This is true.
So, I mean, I don't know if I'm getting more to say about this week, but we were going to talk some brief sort of rumors about another upcoming show, weren't we?
The Ahsoka show. Yeah, we can touch on that real quick for a few minutes. You wrote it up, Cam, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I'll bring it up on the screen. You tell us some Ahsoka rumors.
Obviously, don't have it in front of me in terms to give you the exact quotes, because I use a mobile phone for recording. I don't have a laptop with that can do that properly, like Kev. But roughly speaking, I'll kind of tell you what this is. It's a rumor that came from MSW. Now, I would say that their hit rate is good, but it's not infallible, as we saw with they did rumor. They thought Gorry and Shard and the pirates would end up being villains and skeleton crew. I think they've maybe just, like, they've heard that there was pirates in it and they've put two together and run a wee bit more with it.
Mark my words, you'll be reviewing it with Shockey alone. I'll produce it. I won't say a word. I will not watch Skeleton. If Davey Broccoli is in Skeleton Crew, I will not watch it.
Period. That's fair enough. I think I would be I would be disappointed at this point, but I would still watch it.
No, I won't.
Just easy, even if I was ripped my part. Anyway, what was I saying? So anyway, they have been hearing some information about Ahsoka, and one of the things that they had said earlier is that from what they'd heard, it seemed as if the show was split in two halves, right? So that, and this could get any plot spoilers, but I'll just say this now, if the plot spoilers get more detailed than this, I don't want to know any more about Ahsoka at this point, so I won't be covering them. And this is as far as I go, which is vague, you know, plot spoilers. So, anyway, but just a warning for folk out there that the first half of the show would deal with what's happening in New Republic side, and the second half of the show with what's be happening with Thrawn through wherever he is at the moment. And the new information that they've got is that Morgan Elspeth, who was the villain that Ahsoka fights in Mando season 2, but we didn't
see it.
Remember, we didn't see it kind of resolved. It just ended, and we don't know what happened next with that bit. Well, it turns out that she is also trying to find Thrawn, and it could be that they even think, I'm not sure about this one, but they think she could actually be a Night Sister. I don't know about that, but we'll see. I mean, who am I to tell them that they're wrong at the end of the day? I don't know. But something just didn't feel right with that. Anyway, and there's these two ex-Jedi, if you like, or at least one of them was, that are with her and looking for Thrawn, and they're trying to get to where Thrawn is to be able to rescue him and bring him back. At the same time, you've got Ahsoka and Sabine also, you know, looking to get after Thrawn. Find Ezra, obviously, that's the main thing. And I don't know whether they're going to tag along with them, follow them there, or something like that. And then the second half of the show, they think it'll be Thrawn, what he's up to, and he'll get these people together and be the kind of antagonistic force. It's not a lot. It is fairly vague, which is probably why I did cover it at this point. Once they start telling us, here's what happens at the end, that's when I'll be tapping out, because we did get that with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I just didn't want to know. Simple as that. Because then we can't talk about it, we can't speculate. If you know what's going to happen at the end, you can't speculate on it, you know.
We've had a lot of kind of vague rumors for Ahsoka off and on the last
little 12, bits,
18 months.
Yeah.
They don't, because I was going to say, where does all that stuff about the world between worlds and seeing alternate possibilities, does that fit in with this?
Maybe the first half of the show
maybe
we're in the New Republic. And,
I mean, there's no denying
there's rumours Mon Mothma shows up.
Yeah.
Now in Ahsoka as well, because apparently she was seen running about set, whereas the Andor season 2 is filming in a completely different place. So, you know, why would she be on set? I don't know. Again, we'll wait and see on that. It could have been that it was Mando or Ahsoka, and that they've thought she's now in both, because the rumour was that she could show up in Mando or Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there definitely a lot of these rumours, little bits of information that don't tend to fit together, but I think what we're possibly missing is a lot of context of what actually is going on. And I'm okay with that, because again, I don't want to know. I want to have a few little bits to speculate on and talk to you about and go, what do we think?
Yeah.
We're worried about that kind of thing. So
I'm hopeful for that as well. You know, I've got my fears, especially with Hayden allegedly. No, that's official. Him
no, he is
in Ahsoka. Yeah.
He is 100%.
Well, I knew it was 100. I just didn't know if Disney had said it or not, but I think they admitted that.
He was in it, yeah.
So,
I think Zeb will turn up. The cameo from
Zeb,
the
you know, mentioning
Mando
he
today.
Actually looked good. I recognized the species, but he did look
because I was always worried he would look really bad live action, because I never liked the look of him in the animated form.
Yeah
It's actually
it looked
okay.
Good. I recognized the I was like, I don't know if that's the same guy or
I didn't
or
even
not,
know if it was him or not either at the time when I saw it. I just thought, is that another? But there isn't many of them left. Mm-hmm. They're like quite a rare species at this point. So I didn't know if that was definitely him, but I checked the credits at the end, and it's the same voice actor that's credited as Zeb.
That's
so you're
cool.
Like, okay. And there's no way they bring him in for a 10-second cameo in Mando and then not use him in the Ahsoka show where all his friends are going to show up. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Exactly.
Well, guys, it was quite the episode. Kyle being
old
man Kyle right now.
Grumpy old Kyle.
I am, but like I said, it comes a lot, and I've got a nine-year-old, guys. Like some of the stuff he's into, I'm just, especially the YouTubers he's into. I'm like, why are you watching? This is nothing but noise, boy.
That doesn't make
stupid.
Sense to me.
But
yeah, I don't get
but
it.
I never put it. I will be honest with him. He'll ask, you know, can I watch such and such? Dude, I don't really care for that stuff. It's fine that you do. I like that you like it. What you think is cool is cool. Let's not watch it now. You can watch that later. So I get that things are different. But like I said, my whole biggest issue has been I watched, you know, myself and many others grow up, carry certain things from their past, enjoy certain things from the. I like the Jetsons. I don't want to see a modern Jetsons. You know what I'm saying?
Back in you again, but like I could never understand you like Power Rangers, for example, Kel. I don't get.
Yeah,
that.
But I don't want.
I cannot get my head.
I'm not watching
Power
it. Like, I love what I like. I've got toys. I got my hoodies and stuff like that. And of course, I'm like you said before, a few years.
Because
younger,
I was just.
But
that,
I don't.
Yeah,
want,
I was just that too old.
Yeah, I don't
and
want.
To me it was like.
I don't want a, like the 2017 Power Rangers movie, that was good for me because it was more mature, grown up. It wasn't corny, super Sentai.
I should imagine I never watched it, you know, why would I?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want a rehash of 1990s Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I don't want to watch that. It would not appeal to me. The original only appeals in the nostalgia sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if you took the Boom Comics Kyle Higgins art, which was known as Shattered Grid, right? Again, similar. It was aimed at people my age, basically. Original Power Rangers fans. So, but it was aimed at us. So it was like all the nostalgia imagery, but a 35-up-year-old mentality. Does that make sense? If you took that and animated
it, doesn't make sense for what I think about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers,
but you know what I'm saying. By they
without reading it, I'm not
they made it
comment,
ground
but.
They made it grittier, more mature. That's what I'm saying.
Same as like an example with a teenage
I wouldn't,
Ninja Turtles
I
w-
exactly
which I do get
I wouldn't,
the idea of.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to redo the 90s again. But if you took that comic line and you animated it, I'd be all about that because it would appeal to what I like about Power Rangers, the flashy suits, the big giant monsters and robots fighting, the martial arts, but it would put it on a maturity level that I
Davey
actually
Broccoli
enjoy.
Would be a good Power Rangers villain.
What's that?
Davey Broccoli would be a good Power Rangers villain.
He would make an outstanding. I would have loved him to have been a Power Rangers villain. Absolutely, because he looks like a Power Rangers villain.
Yeah, but you couldn't have that in Star Wars. I get it.
No. But and it's fine for everyone to be what they're into. Anyways, this has gone on super long, over an hour. I hate it when we go over an hour because nobody watches it. If you have been watching, thank you guys so much. Check out the rest of the content here on the channel. Lots of anime stuff, says the old man bitching about kids' cartoons. Lots of anime stuff. Breaking Geek Radio and Daily Cog cover everything you can imagine in entertainment. Breaking Geek is reviewing Dungeons & Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves this week, so check that out. If it's not a reaction video goes up, all of our podcast news and reviews go up on your favorite podcast apps, and of course check out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all your written entertainment news needs, opinions, rumors and leaks and things like that. Cam does a really good job at sifting through things with his bullshit filter. And check out the celebrity interviews on the LRM Online YouTube channel as well. Anything else, Cam?
No, check out LRM Online. As Kel said, anybody interested in doing any writing, getting into that side of things, please give Kel, myself, Shockey, anyone, a shout. All our details you can find, or you can find us through the website, but give us a shout. There's a few new people who have come on board just to write about things that they're interested in, and it's been cool so far. We're working a lot to build that out and let you know if you feel there's something you're not covering and you want to see why does no one cover this news for LRM.
You come and cover it.
Come and do it. Because I maybe don't watch it, I maybe don't know anything about it, and you don't want to see me report stuff that I've got no idea what I'm talking about. So,
you got it. All right, guys. That's it. Until next time, may the force be with you.